It's the Morning Show. I'm John Munson. This hour, books. What were your favorites in 2017? What couldn't you put down? And what book would you love to unwrap this Christmas? So let us know. You can, we encourage you to go to our Facebook page and leave your suggestions for best books of 2017, your favorites, what you might be giving as a gift or what you hope to receive. Share all that with us on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can call us at 800-642-1234, send an email to ideas@wpr.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jim Higgins is my guest this hour. He's the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes about books and the performing arts. He's also the author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries, from Laura Ingalls Wilder to Ayad Akhtar. So, Jim Higgins, welcome to the Morning Show.
Thank you, John. I'm happy to be on with you and the network.
Before we dig into specific suggestions for the readers in our lives, tell us, how do you and your colleagues go about putting together lists for gifts or books of the year? What are you looking for? What has to jump out at you to make the list?
Well, John, there's like a really complicated answer to that and a simple one. And the simple one for me personally is just I want a book, whether it's light or serious, to just really take hold of me and to fully engage me in one way or another. And starting from that, when I put together a list, I'm really trying to appeal to a variety of people, but it also appeal to people who just like to read. And so our holiday picks list, I look for something for everybody. And best of the year, I really just simply keep track through the year of what I read and make that list of the things I like most and pare it down to 10. So.
Well, let's get into these lists. Walk us through a few of your top picks as gifts, Jim.
Certainly. I want to start with one for kids, because folks may be thinking about, you know, their grandchild or nephew or little kids. And one of my favorites of the season, it's a wordless picture book. It's called Professional Crocodile by Giovanna Zabali. It's a book that was first done in Italy and brought over here. And it's a picture book about a crocodile who gets up and goes through his whole morning routine, brushes his teeth, puts on his clothes, tries to pick out a tie that matches, and goes to his job. And it would be wrong of me to spoil for you and listeners what that job is, but it is a very fun book. And with no words, mom or dad or grandma or grandpa can tell this story any way they want. And that's my top little kids pick. Let's see, something a little stronger for older kids, The Stars Beneath Our Feet by David Barclay Moore. It's for readers 10 and older. It's a boy growing up in Harlem in tough situation, and his refuge from the world is building a very elaborate Lego city while he's trying to stay clear of the dangers in his neighborhood. And this is one that a lot of booksellers love, and it's really made a big impact. For Wisconsin readers, Becoming Kareem, Kareem Abdul's memoir for young readers, but I think adults would like it too. Really, it's his growing up story, you know, how he went from Lou Alcindor to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, both in basketball terms and as a young man.
Of course, we remember Kareem as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks and their right. Their championship season. I remember listening to those games on the radio. Eddie Doucette was still on the call in those days.
Yes.
But I got to tell you what just struck me was always in the background, you could hear whoever the public address announcer was for the arena in those days. You could hear him in the background because he would call all the baskets, and it was always, you know, basket by Jabbar. And, you know, that was kind of what got me about that. Well, that sounds like a really interesting book. What else is there on the list for that specifically Wisconsin?
Well, John, I am a couple books I'm high on, a couple very different books. One is Janesville, An American Story by Emmy Goldstein, and I'm pretty sure that she's been on the Ideas Network this year talking with your colleagues. She's a Washington Post reporter that chronicled how Janesville tried to bounce back after the General Motors plant closed in 2008. Mm. It covers a wide range of people, you know, political leaders, business leaders, teachers, students, people who lost their houses. I wouldn't say there are villains in it, but there are heroes, and it's really a remarkable long-form story about what Janesville has tried to do. And someone who will be very familiar to a Wisconsin public radio audience, Michael Perry's new book, Montaigne in Barn Boots. It's really his read through the great French essayist Montaigne and making comparisons with his own life and just writing about his own ups and downs as a man now in his 50s and a man who lives in the country like Montaigne did. It's my favorite Michael Perry book after Population 485. I'd give it a really high recommendation.
Well, and by the way, listeners can find a link to WPR's interview with Perry about that book on the morning show page at WPR.org. I guess that comes under the category of shameless plug, but I've been in broadcasting long enough to have gotten rid of shame as an emotion anyway.
I think it's a well-deserved plug both for WPR and for Michael. I mean, I'm always delighted to, if there's anyone who hasn't discovered him yet, I'm always happy to help them find him.
We had, an email from Alex in Oneida who says, I am giving John Hodgman's latest Vacation Land, True Stories from Painful Beaches, as a gift this year. It's hilarious, and we could all use a little more laughter. Hodgman's one of the funniest writers out there. Are you familiar with that book?
Yeah. Yes. John's a very droll and funny writer, and I think a point that some folks have made about this book is not only is it funny, but John moves a little closer to who he really is as a person, as opposed to the kind of John Hodgman character that he's created. You know, we sometimes think of John as either Judge John or as the guy he played when he played the PC in the Apple PC commercials, and this book's a little more personal, but I haven't read it, but the things I've read about it are glowing, and I think anyone who likes John will want to get on that book.
You included Roxane Gay's Hunger on your gifts list and best books of 2017 list. Tell us more about what sounds like a compelling read.
Sure. Roxane's a pretty well-known writer and social commentator, and a pull-no-punches kind of writer. She's the author of Bad Feminist, among other books. And what this book is about is really about when she was 12, she was gang-raped by a number of older boys, and that kind of triggered her struggle with compulsive overeating and weight gain, and she would not be shy about saying that she's a pretty large person, and that's been a struggle for her. And she writes about the ups and downs of that, and also of the trauma of being raped. And what I find compelling about this, this is a pretty hard hitting book. You don't want to read this on a day when you're frail, but. It doesn't fit a kind of stereotypical mode of I had a problem, I found a magic solution and now everything's great. You know, she writes about this as an ongoing challenge in her life, and I would say, that the arc bends toward greater health, but it doesn't bend in a perfectly smooth way for her. And there's stuff about body shaming and compulsive eating and just her process of accepting who she is as a person. And so for people who have struggled with their weight, and I would say also for people who have struggled with recovery from being traumatized that way, it's a strong read. It's a strong book.
You know, I have a memory of having interviewed Roxane when Bad Feminist came out, and I don't remember which show I was filling in on because I've been on pretty much all of them here, but I do remember talking about that book on the radio, and it was a very powerful work. This sounds like it's of equal merit. and deserves its place on your list. We're going to be talking some more about these lists that you've spent so much time compiling. And we'll continue that conversation after we take a short break for the news. My guest this hour is Jim Higgins. He's the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He writes about books and the performing arts. He's also the author of Wisconsin Luminaries. And he's with us this hour to talk about books. What books are you giving as gifts? What books do you think deserve to be on a list of the best books of 2017? What's your favorite? What couldn't you put down this year? 800-642-1234. By all means, go to the Ideas Network Facebook page and leave your comment or question there. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network. We will be right back. It's The Morning Show. I'm John Munson. We're talking about books today. What do you think deserves to be on a Best of 2017 book list? What are you giving as a gift this year? What book would you like to see under your tree? Post your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page or join us at 800-642-1234. My guest, Jim Higgins, is the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes about books and the performing arts. We've got some great Facebook posts. Let's share a couple of them. Ellery posted to the Facebook page and says, I love to cook, and 2017 has been a year of cookbooks for me. Some of my favorites were Cook Japanese at Home and Tasting Georgia, the country, not the state. Great recipes from around the globe. Are you familiar with any of those?
John, I am the world's worst cookbook recommender. I'm good at eating, only marginally good at cooking. But the cookbook thing is amazing. And Chrissy Kierzik, who writes for us, the chef cookbook author, interviews every Wednesday. I'm just floored by how many are out there and how beautiful they are. So I'm always interested in hearing which one readers like. So.
I have to confess, I cook all the time, and I've yet to use a cookbook. I don't know. Maybe it must be something fundamentally flawed with me. Let's take a phone call. That maybe could be the subject of another show. Mary is with us in La Crosse this morning. Hello, Mary. Welcome to The Morning Show.
Thank you. I'm going to talk about books by Jerry Apps, who we all know is the Wisconsin mm-hmm. author. And what inspired me to do this is my husband was raised in Northeast Iowa. He was born in 1937, and he was raised on a farm. And one of our nightly traditions was he read stories to the kids every night before they went to bed. But he ended up telling Farmer Brown stories, and Farmer Brown stories were really, really from recollections of him growing up on a farm. And so when I heard Jerry Apps and his daughter on public radio here several weeks ago talk about their new cookbook called Old Farm Country Cookbook, I thought that's going to be a perfect gift for my kids, and I bought one for each family, not for the recipes, but for the pictures and the memories and the stories of the era when my husband was growing up, because unfortunately he's no longer around to keep those stories going in the family. And the memories and the pictures, there's a picture of a cookbook, and one of my neighbors said she's honest and truly had never heard of a cook stove, didn't know what a cook stove was. And then there's a wonderful, that one's called Old Farm Country Cookbook. But the other one, before school started, I drove my grandchildren past the country schools that my husband had gone to around Lansing, Iowa. And he published a book also about one-room schools. And it is incredibly good, too, because it has all the pictures. Kids are fascinated with country schools, with the one-room school. And it's so nice that here in the La Crosse area, there are a couple that are kept open, and they take the elementary kids through these country country schools. So I bought the country school book one so that they would have those memories and the knowledge that's unfortunately lost about the wonder and the goodness about the country one-room schools. And then the other one that I have in my hand here is called Stormy, and it's an illustrated book about Jerry Epps' first 4-H calf. And one of the things that's really neat in the picture, it talks about walking down to the barn with a lantern in the dark, and it has a picture of Jerry and his father walking down to the barn. And my husband's mother gave us the lantern that they carried to the barn. And so beautifully illustrated, I think also by a Wisconsin artist. But they are so historical, so beautifully written, so beautifully illustrated about this era that we really can't recreate because it's different. School is different. Mm-hmm. The kitchen is different. And so I bought a set for each family so that they would have wonderful information and have in their memory the kinds of things that their grandpa and great grandparents experienced as living in that era before all this technology and the wonderful kind of one of the things he talked about was when they were done milking the wonderful family meals.
Yes.
So
Mary, thank you. Okay, Mary, thank you. I want to give our guest, Jim Higgins, a chance to respond. Well, Jerry Epps, certainly a prolific Wisconsin author and frequent guest on The Larry Mueller Show.
Jerry is a legend, and, you know, I think future anthropologists could probably reconstruct Wisconsin farm life from his books. He really is the keeper of, if there's such a thing as institutional memory of farming life, he's the guy who's keeping it. So.
Well, he really does. And I have to say, my father, I didn't grow up on a dairy farm. My father did. And the stories that he told, when I read some of the stories that Jerry told, I said, yeah, okay, I recognize that one. So he really does. He really does a great job with that. We have another recommendation from April on Facebook, who says The House at the Edge of Night by Catherine Banner. That's a favorite that April is recommending. So we're getting a lot of recommendations on Facebook. You can post yours as well. Go to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Leave your recommendation for your favorite book of 2017. Either you can, something maybe you've read, a book that you would like to read, you hope somebody gives it to you for Christmas, or one that you're gifting yourself. But April likes The House at the Edge of Night. Well, that's a catchy title.
And it certainly is. I'll have to look that one up. So.
Okay. Let me see. Let me get to the right page on my script here. Let's talk about some other books on your list that have Wisconsin suggestions, or Wisconsin connections, rather. What are some of your other suggestions for a Wisconsin-themed or Wisconsin origin book?
Certainly, John. And I was thinking about this as you were talking about Jerry Epps. I really like The Driftless Reader, which is an anthology published by the University of Wisconsin Press, edited by Kurt Miney and Keith Keeley. It's a big and very colorful anthology of writing about the Driftless region. And it scientific writing, literary writing, journalistic writing. You get some of the famous people like Laura Ingalls Wilder, but you also get scientists and explorers, Native American writers. There's a remarkable letter from Old Order Amish leaders to the authorities, basically saying, please don't conduct military flyovers over our territory. It's a mosaic of the history and life in the Driftless region, and the editors did a remarkable job of finding period and unusual illustrations to go with it. So if you're a Wisconsinite kind of reader, that's a beautiful book that's both readable and looks beautiful. I mean, I certainly recommend that one.
And I believe we had the editors of that volume on the morning show, and you can find that interview also on the morning show page at WPR.org. You mentioned Laura Ingalls Wilder. There was another book on your list that featured her with a Wisconsin connection.
Oh, yes. The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder, The Frontier Landscapes That Inspired the Little House Books. That's by Marta McDowell. That's a whole mouthful of a title, but what it really is a gardening and landscape book about Laura. And Marta McDowell, this is her specialty. She's a horticultural historian. She's written books about White House gardens and First Lady's gardens. And what she has really done is gone through every place where Laura lived, from Pepin as a little girl through all of her other homes, and wrote about the plants, the fruits, the trees that Laura either grew or wrote about or would have been in her area. And she really tries to identify everyone in every place, both their, you know, common or vernacular names and their scientific names. And she gives suggestions on how you can make a Laura-inspired garden. It's just for someone who, you know, for whom the growing part of Laura's writing appeals to them, it's just a wonderful book to have. It's a fun book, and I'm not that much of a gardener, but I thoroughly enjoyed the book and would highly recommend it to Laura fans and the people who love gardening.
And by the way, one more shameless plug. We had Marta McDowell on talking about her book on the morning show. This is just all just completely accidental that I know all this. By the way, Jim, you had a book that came out of your own earlier this year. You profiled Wisconsin writers. One of them was Ayad Akhtar, and a work of his ended up on your gift list. Tell us about Junk, a Play.
Certainly. Well, I grew up in Elm Grove in Brookfield, and has gone on to be a major American playwright. His play, Disgraced, won the Pulitzer Prize a few years ago. He has two big subjects. One is Muslim American families, and the second is big capitalism and big money. And Junk is a play set in the 1980s about the junk bond struggles of that era, and financiers using junk bonds to take over companies. Junk's a very large cast play, 18 to 20 people, and it has echoes of today's, you know, big capitalism and big finance. And so there's now a published version of Junk, and I put that on my list for gift giving for drama fans and people who are interested in big money. And sometimes plays are published in a very stripped-down way, just simply for theater companies that are looking to perform them. His publisher always manages to include an interview, a good foreword, so there's always a little bit of extra material that helps give you context. Where his published plays are handled very well. So if you're interested in drama or in capitalism, that's one I'd recommend.
Okay. We have a question from David in Madison, who called in to ask, what are some good suggestions for science fiction fans? I'm especially interested in female sci-fi authors. Any recommendations there, Jim Higgins?
Sure. These may not have new books this year, but, here's a newish one, and it would make a nice gift book. The Library of America has done a two-volume collection of Ursula Le Guin's Hainish novels that includes The Left Hand of Darkness, which is really her big classic. That would be a wonderful gift set for someone who likes science fiction. I'm a continuing ongoing fan of Octavia Butler, who is an African-American science fiction writer who I don't have the words now to succinctly sum up her work, but it has a lot to do with race and also with genetic manipulation and where we might be headed. And Wild Seeds, the book that turned me on to her, but you could pick up anything with her name on it and be happy with it. Along that line, too, I'm a big fan of Nancy Kress, whose science fiction also revolves around genetics and DNA. And again, anything with her name on, I happily recommend to you.
We have, the comments are pouring in on Facebook. Caroline wanted to suggest Little House Revisited by Sarah Miller is also out this year. It's a Little House told through Ma's eyes. So there's that one. And then Rich and Rhinelander emailed to say the best difficult reading novel, which you will want to put down but shouldn't because you will find it so moving, is George Saunders' Lincoln in the Bardo.
Lincoln in the Bardo was my favorite novel, the new novel this year. Briefly, it takes place in the Bardo, which is kind of an afterlife right after this one, and with souls that are stuck there who can't move on because they're too attached to the earthly world. And the plot of this involves President Lincoln. It's in the 1860s, President Lincoln's son who has just died. And the attachment between Lincoln and his son is so strong that the son can't move on to the next part of the afterlife. And two souls in that place try to help the Lincoln son move on. George kind of approximates an 1860s sort of language, and it took me about 10 pages to get the hang of how he was doing this, and then once he did, I just found it a really thrilling and very compassionate book. It is a little different than traditional literary novels, so it does take a few pages to get the hang of it, but I would heartily recommend it, and I echo his comments about it.
Well, let's get in a call before we have to break for news again. Bernie is with us in Elkhorn. Bernie, what's your suggestion for us?
Hi, good morning. I'm going to suggest one of many books I've got on my stack, and I apologize to the listeners. I may have it slightly wrong. A gentleman by the name of Richard Sharnin, I think it's Charnin, and the title is something like One in a Billion, and I may have something wrong there, but it's a book about, he's a very analytical guy, that's his background. Talking about election fraud in our country, talking about how the Democratic primary was stolen from Bernie Sanders by pro-Hillary people, and also how the Republican Party, people in favor of that party, have stolen numerous national elections over the years. It's a very illuminating book, basically pointing out that our election system is completely corrupt and unaccountable.
All right, Bernie, thanks for the suggestion. Richard Sharnin, ring any bells, Jim Higgins?
It doesn't, John, but I mostly don't write about politically oriented books because you almost have to be a full-time specialist to do that.
So. Yeah, I didn't find it on Google either. But, Bernie, thanks for the call. We'll keep looking for it. We've got a lot of books yet to cover. We've got multiple lists in front of us here, and we'll never get through all of this. We've got more Facebook comments coming in, plenty of room for you to post, and we'll try and get your suggestions on. You can also call us, as Bernie did, 800-642-1234. We're talking about the best books of 2017 and best book gift ideas with Jim Higgins, assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes about, well, books. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to this program on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back after the news and talk about more books, including one that looks like would be one of my favorites that's on your top picks list, Jim Higgins. We'll be right back. This is the Ideas Network of WPR. We're talking about books this hour on The Morning Show. I'm John Munson. Jim Higgins is my guest. He's the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes about books and the performing arts. What book or books couldn't you put down this year? What was your favorite book that came out this year? Is there a particular book you're giving as a gift or that you'd like to receive? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Better yet, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page and let everybody else know what your choice is. Let's see. We have another caller. Let's go to the call, and then we'll talk some more about your list. There's one that I want to point out that looks like it's going to be one of my favorites. Bratislav is with us from Sheboygan. Good morning. Welcome to the morning show. What's your choice for a good book?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I have a recommendation for the religious reader out there. It's a new translation of the New Testament done by an Eastern Orthodox scholar by the name of David Bentley Hart.
You know, I think I heard about that. It might have been on the BBC. Either that or I read about it. That does strike a chord as being familiar to me. Jim Higgins?
Tell me, what did you find appealing about this translation, maybe from earlier Bibles that you've read?
Bratislav, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. I think Hart takes kind of a fresh look. In his own words, he says he's starkly literal in some places where typically translations aren't, which kind of gives the reader a jolt at what the original writers are actually saying.
Okay. Well, thanks for the suggestion. Appreciate it. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. The book on your list, 75 Books for Holiday Gift Giving in 2017, I was happy to see right at the very top of that list under editor's picks was The Big Book of the Continental Op, which is...
Oh, John, we must be brothers separated at birth. So you're a Continental Op fan?
I love Dashiell Hammett and his style. And there was another collection of short stories from that series, I think, that came out a few years ago in hardcover. Maybe it was a long time ago because the copy I have is pretty beaten up. But, I'm a huge Dashiell Hammett fan.
Well, a number of years ago, we did slightly tongue-in-cheek, but we did a series of pieces here on the great American novel. And actually, I picked Red Harvest, which is kind of a fix-up novel of Continental Op stories. And he's really one of the first truly hard-boiled characters, but he's a nameless Pinkerton detective who solves all kinds of crimes and kind of follows follows the code of what he does. But Hammett has more famous characters, certainly Sam Spade and the Thin Man. But I love the Continental Op stories, and anyone who likes detective fiction, I'd heartily recommend that book.
Yeah, I would. Yes. I'm not, talk show hosts aren't supposed to have opinions, but I'm going to go out on a ledge here and say you really can't go wrong with Dashiell Hammett if you like hard-boiled detective fiction. By the way, we did get a clarification on Bernie's call earlier. The book that he was trying to think of was by Richard Sharnan, and it's titled 77 Billion to One. So glad we got a clarification on that. Okay, so 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. And we just talked about a crime story. Any other crime books on your lists this year, Jim Higgins?
Well, I want to recommend one that Carol Behrman, who does a mystery column for us, a couple that she loves. One is Bluebird, Bluebird by Attica Locke, and that's about a black Texas Ranger tries to solve a double murder that it brings Jim Crow and all kinds of other thorny problems into it. And a lot of mystery writers have pointed to Bluebird, Bluebird as a great one. And then she also recommends Lola by Melissa Scrivener Love. She calls it a feminist take on HBO's The Wire, and it's a young woman who's had to serve as a drug mule has 36 hours to find a stolen shipment, or else, that's the end of her. And it's a really hard-hitting, gritty urban mystery.
Okay. Well, we've got those noted. We talked a little bit about science fiction. One of our Facebook posters mentioned some sci-fi. For some people, reading about exploring another world, life, or idea is a really cool thing to do. So let's talk about some of that kind of fiction. What do you suggest as a gift in that area?
Well, I'm going to go off this year's board to the board of the last couple of years. The most compelling science fiction I've read in recent years is translated from Chinese by Cixin Liu. That's C-I-X-I-N-L-I-U. It's a trilogy that begins with a book called The Third Body Problem. And it's slightly set in the future, involves a kind of slow-moving alien invasion of Earth and a number of other things. And it has the big space opera feel. It's rich in ideas, told from a Chinese point of view. It has a slightly different take on some conflicts than we would have here in the U.S. or in the Western world. And there's some mind-blowing astronomical ideas. It just has almost everything in it. There are three books. I'm not sure if they're all packaged as a set yet, but you could pick up any one of them and feel happy. And even sometimes in trilogies, the middle book is kind of saggy. His isn't. So I just heartily recommend that collection.
We have, let's see, where did it go? Comments keep coming and going on my screen. And I just had one, I thought. Okay, here we go. Jennifer on Facebook says, Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate has a beautiful, hopeful message about how the world can get along. The tree sends us all a beautiful message about how to stand tall and reach dreep. Jennifer's suggestion, The Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate.
I have not read Wish Tree, but I've read others by Ms. Applegate. She's a wonderful writer. She's writing for Chapter Book and older youth, and I wouldn't hesitate to pick that up.
Let's talk about nonfiction for just a moment. What should we buy for the nonfiction lover in our lives?
Well, let me give you a couple of shorter, lighter ones, John, but I strongly recommend these. One is for anyone who's a traveler or anyone whose idea of a good vacation is going to New York. I would take a look at Roz Chass' book, Going Into Town, A Love Letter to New York. Now, Roz is the great cartoonist for The New Yorker, and she grew up in Brooklyn, as she says, when it was still Brooklyn before it became Hipsterland. And she started this as a little guidebook for her daughter going to college, and it grew into these cartoon essays about the city and places you can visit and what it has, and that one I loved. I mentioned Janesville already, which I'd strongly recommend for the nonfiction person. And if you have that young person who's maybe graduating this year from high school or college, John Waters' book, Make Trouble. John Waters, the filmmaker of Hairspray and Pink Flamingos and many other things. It's a illustrated version of a commencement address he gave that's really a very subversive but inspiring speech about creativity. I strongly recommend Make Trouble by John Waters.
Okay. So what books haven't we talked about that were on your list that you really want to highlight for us?
People of any gender can read it, but especially women readers. I'd recommend All Grown Up by Jamie Attenberg, which is the other novel. This was the year I read a lot of nonfiction, but it's the other novel I loved most this year. It's told by a woman turning 40. It's taking stock of her life, and she's been, you know, aggressively single, and sometimes that's turned out messy. But at the same time, she looks at her mother and her brother and the challenges of their marriage. So it's a very sharp, probing novel about just how both states are difficult, single and married, and also about, you know, how hard it is in some ways to grow up. And Attenberg has a very crisp, sometimes snide, but pleasurable voice. I wouldn't hesitate to pick up any book by her, but this one in particular.
And how would you characterize 2017 in terms of the year in books? What kind of content did we see this year?
Well, so many things. I guess the longer I do this, John, the more I realize how no one person can keep track of it. I don't think anybody can have the feel of the entire year. I think there's so many reasons in the world to be anxious about this year, and that seemed to drive me more into nonfiction for some reason, and more to value you know, really crisp, either funny writing or crisp writing or pointed writing that kind of became my retreat. There's compelling writing in every form that we have. I think it's a matter sometimes of what a person needs. And I think whatever you need, if you need escapism, if you need realism, if you need deep thoughts, you can find it.
It's all there.
So.
Okay. As we got about 45 seconds before we have to go away here, but as you look ahead to 2018, is there a particular author or book that you're kind of excited about and looking forward to seeing?
Well, for Wisconsin readers, I would recommend Nick Petrie, who's a Milwaukee mystery novelist. He's created a character, Peter Ash, who's kind of like a Jack Reacher character.
Okay.
And his new novel coming out in January has to do with legal cannabis and the money involved there. And I think that would be both heart-hitting and fun for readers. So Nick Petrie, P-E-T-R-I-E.
And very, very timely, given all the legal pot
that's
in various states in the United States right now. Jim Higgins, thank you so much for spending this hour. I always have a good time talking about books, so I hope the audience enjoyed it as well. I think they did. But thank you very much, and please have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, John, and the best to you and your readers, too. I've loved this hour.
Jim Higgins is assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes about books and the performing arts. He is also the author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries. This hour was produced by Brian Chasso and Cheryl Gasser. Michelle Good provided technical direction. Coming up Monday at this time, we'll celebrate the unique, distinctive, and cherished aspects of the state during an hour-long special from Wisconsin Life. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.